Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm JP Ong from Money FM 89.3, and this is Market View Wrap. We are going to take a look at the very memorable week that was for stocks here in Singapore and across the region. As always, we are joined by Jeff Howie, market strategist for the SGX. Yes, you were with just the two of us to recap the memorable last couple of days. And we do want to start off, though, by setting the table for you folks and tracking where the Straits Times Index is trading at the moment. And we are seeing some slight gains for the local benchmark, rising by about 3 points today and now at 3,095 points. A little bit better today. And we're seeing value turnover just simmering down a little bit as compared to recent sessions when we saw heightened trading activity here for most of the last couple of days. About 529 million Singapore dollars in total trades changing hands in the first half. And as we head into the afternoon session, we're seeing also more second and third liners doing quite well. Across the broader mainboard and catalyst, about 208 stocks, REITs and trusts that are in the green today, 184 that are still stuck in the red, but overall the margins favoring gainers over losers. Across the rest of the region, we just want to take stock of how other markets are doing. It seems that sentiment is easing as we end the week. The Nikkei 225 today gaining by about 0.6% in Japan to 27,911 points. It's also a better day for Australian stocks. The ASX 200 in Sydney today gaining 0.2% higher to 7,241 points. South Korean KOSPI today also in the green, up 0.7% at 2,966 points. The Taiwan Weighted Exchange holding on to very slight gains, but they're still trading about 2 points higher today at 17,727, a pretty muted but fairly positive day, at least out in Taipei. Mainly Chinese markets also looking quite good today. Shanghai today gaining by 0.7%, now rising to 3,597 points. Shenzhen today, though, so far trading at 14,799 points. That's 0.2% up intraday. But we are seeing that the Hang Seng is missing out on this bounce back rally this Friday. The Hong Kong benchmark today falling 183 points at 23,605, dragged down primarily by tech shares. The Hang Seng Tech Index dropping 2.4%, plunging to 5,875. And while we are seeing a bit of a better day in today's this Friday, we do have to recap the very harrowing start to the week where we saw the Straits Times Index fall below that 3,100 level. Again, a lot of these concerns and uncertainties coming from the new Omicron variant of the COVID-19 virus really hitting market sentiment and testing of the resolve of many. Now, we do have to point out, though, and I would like to bring Jeff Howie in on the conversation. Jeff, we do have to point out also that there's still a lot of uncertainties regarding this virus. We still don't know if it's going to be a worse or less severe variant of the COVID-19 virus, but this uncertainty perhaps really is driving volatility up and uncertainty for markets across the region. And it did set the stage for a fairly forgettable pullback, actually, for the STI, which fell by about 180 points at the end of November. So far, we're seeing signs of the STI trying to at least mount a bit of a comeback, but the going has been a little tough, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, that was 3 days of a very sharp pullback, JP. I think the index itself, the STI, declined something like 5.5% from around 32.20 on the Thursday close to 30.40 on the Tuesday close. And it has been followed by these, two and a half or three sessions of comparatively quieter inside days, which has seen the index test 3,100 from Wednesday to Thursday and into the AM session today as well. So for the past 2.5 days, that's been the level it's been testing. Now, the index didn't continue on from its declines following the Omicron developments, and it didn't entirely retrace and bounce back. So obviously, we've got the news, and like you said, it's going to be the key macro focus all for next week in terms of the severity of it and what we know about with the vaccine efficacy and so forth. But that 3 day pullback really to 30.40 on the Tuesday close, it really was on the back of the Omicron development, but it was exacerbated by some MSCI Singapore rebalancing that we had on the 30th of November close. So that saw the inclusion factor for the CADR basically double to 50%, which means the ADR now has an approximate 20% weight in that index, which is closely followed by institutions. And that mostly impacted the banks on the 30th of November. November close. So subsequently, we've seen DBS reverse its 30th of November decline the following day, while OCBC and UOB have since recovered much of their lost ground on the 30th of November. And all this has brought the STI 30-day volatility to effectively double the level it was on Thursday and return to early to mid-August levels. So plenty of interesting kind of aspects of the market, if you will, over the week. If you look at the three-day sell-off spanning last Friday, Monday and Tuesday, over those three sessions, Capital Land Investment actually booked the highest net institutional inflows, while Singapore Airlines booked the most net institutional outflows. Now, interesting, Capital Land Investment, it bought back $62 million of its shares over those three sessions, and then another close to $80 million of its shares between Wednesday and Thursday, paying an average price over the five sessions of around $3.36. And it also means that as of yesterday, Capital Land Investment has now bought back 1% of its issued shares since commencing the buybacks on the 12th of October. Since the Thursday close and right through to the morning session close this morning, Capital Land Investment, it's declined 1.5%. That's pretty defensive when you compare it to the STI decline of 3.7%. But also in that sector, UOL Group has also been comparatively defensive since the Thursday close. I think it's declined 0.9%, and with Capital Land Investment ranked among the five stocks that saw the most net institutional inflows over the past five sessions. So while UOL has not conducted any buybacks, it was pretty much since 2016, we did see on Tuesday We Investments acquire more than 2 million shares of the UOL Group at an average price of $6.88, and another 200,000 shares of the We Investment Company on the 1st of December were acquired, and that's taken its direct interest to above the 15% threshold. So look, for the week that we've seen this week, right through to the morning session closed today, we've seen UOL Group actually as the strongest STI constituent. So there you are. It's the real estate side of the STI that has been among the most defensive.
Very interesting, actually, also, because I did note that UOL had that very interesting jump, I think sometime in the middle of the week, outperforming the rest of the STI during that time. And a bit of a head-scratcher, it seems you've explained part of the reason why UOL was doing quite well, Jeff. But overall, property developers did fairly better as compared to some of their other counterparts. And this despite the fact that we've seen, once again, warnings of a more hawkish Federal Reserve that's also pushed interest rates higher. But despite that, and we know that property developers seem to be fairly sensitive, actually, to any of these rate pressures. Despite that, though, they did quite well. So perhaps a bright spot amidst this very turbulent week for stocks, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, on the yield curve, it's interesting, right? Because much of this was built in, this taking a more hawkish stance going into 2021, because, okay, the yield curve itself, the 2 to 10 U.S. Treasuries yield curve, it flattened during the testimony of the Fed chair, noting obviously that inflation is transitory is no longer the word for inflation, and hence taking that more hawkish tone. So the yield curve itself has flattened to around 80 basis points. Now that's exactly where it ended 2020. That's a pretty sharp decline over a few sessions from 100 basis points, which began on the night of the Tuesday the 30th of November, and now it's at 80 basis points. So globally, though, you'll see banks were mostly unchanged for the week. And I think over the week, our trio, DBS, OCBC, and UOB, averaged 1.5% declines. And while global banks declined maybe 0.2% over that period. So they were mostly unchanged, but that hawkish tone did actually fit what we have seen in the 2 to 10 US yield curve this year. There has been an upward shift in the yield curve by approximately 50 basis points since the end of 2020. So that just means that the 2-year yields and the 10-year yields are both around 50 basis points higher than where they ended last year. So that kind of fits with the more hawkish outlook that we're taking into 2022. But nevertheless, following this recent uptick in the volatility, we've seen divergence in price ratios of the banks as well, and that has obviously also provided some short-term trading opportunities. When you have these big moves, you can have a little bit of diversion across all the sector performances and so forth, and that gives investors and traders opportunities to do some rebalancing and rotations.
Yeah, what's interesting also about when you look at the banks here in Singapore, Jeff, you can go one of two ways, right? On one hand, this rising interest rate environment, the slight steepening of the yield curve, lifting at least the hopes that maybe net interest margins for lenders, not just here but across the world, might actually improve. We saw banks in Europe actually do quite well on a handful of occasions this week as well. DBS, UOB, and OCBC might also seem to be a bit more stable with that. But apart from that, because of questions about their exposure at least to global growth and them also being a bellwether for economic growth here in Singapore, if we start to see economic growth really checked or perhaps questioned by the rise of the Omicron variant, I mean, how do we balance? How do you think you can see how it might be tricky for retail investors to perhaps balance these two things, these rising interest rate environments that might be positive for margins, but also the fact that they're also very much exposed and vulnerable to the economic prospects of Singapore.
That's right. I mean, net interest income, it makes up something like between 55% to 65% of the total income of the bank. So you've got 35 to 45% that's non-interest income. And that non-interest income is really driven by things like increased digitalization, the broadening of wealth management services, and of course, the continued focus on the growth in the region and the supply chains of the growth. For instance, UOB, it maintains Southeast Asia has immense growth prospects with a lot of revenue potential for the bank in connecting the dots across the region. So there's a lot at stake as well economically, and that's, of course, that's always a given that the stocks themselves, particularly the financial services, do very much depend on the economic environment they are in. The banks, for instance, they led the STI to be one of the world's strongest performing stock markets back in 2017. At the same time in 2017, Singapore ranked among the highest advanced economy growth rates across the world that year, and financial services had a key role to play in that as well. So there's two sides to the story, and that's also giving investors opportunities, obviously, to take their views and look at what they have in terms of their horizons for 2022.
A lot of nuances indeed, perhaps impacting the banks. Jeff, I just want to ask you, what are you going to be tracking next week, especially given the whirlwind that we saw for markets here over the last couple of days? What do you think is going to be worth tracking for investors as we head into the next week of December?
Yeah, look, I think, firstly to look at this week, the Fed was obviously a big point, those testimonies. But tonight, I think we have St. Louis Fed President James Bullard. He'll be speaking at the Missouri Banks Association. And I think that's it for the FOMC blackout period then starts for all the Fed speak on Saturday, and that will end following the FOMC on the 16th of December. So not much expected from the Fed Reserve. For the Singapore market, October retail sales were out today. They were expected to be up 4.5% year on year. They came in better than expected at 7.5% year on year, and that's even better than the September 6.6% year on year gain. But nonetheless, still we have much to accomplish. You saw the third quarter final GDP report. It showed the value add of wholesale and retail trade and the transportation and storage sectors that remain something like 7% below its third quarter FY 2019 level. And then, but plenty obviously on the front of the market. We have on Monday Digital Core REIT scheduled to list. It will be a pure play data center REIT sponsored by Digital Realty, and Digital Realty itself is the largest owner, operator, and developer of data centers globally. And the IPO portfolio, I think the appraised value is around $1.4 billion. It comprises 10 institutional quality data centers located not just in the United States but also Canada with 100% occupancy rates. So I should also note that sponsor Digital Realty is the sixth largest U.S. REIT, I think with a market cap of around $45 billion and over 290 data centers. So a big week on Monday for the REIT sector. And other than that, obviously on a sector basis, the commodity related, the energy markets will be looked at, the price of oil, and nonetheless, probably eyes will be on what have been some of the more resilient sectors in Singapore as well in the third quarter, particularly the tech sectors, and also to look at some of the sectors that have seen more outflows by institutions, net outflows by institutions since the news of the Omicron development came, because actually, if you look at some of them, that they're actually still up for the quarter and quite resilient. So if you look at Gunting Singapore and you look at Ascott Residence Trust as well as Comfort, City Developments Hospitality Trust, those three hospitality plays are up actually 5 to 6% still since the end of September, because we did see a little bit more of interest by global investors across the world in the hospitality-related sectors going into 2022. Nonetheless, a little bit of that shine did come off over the last week or so, but they, as I said, they still maintain some gains for the quarter.
A lot really to track, and seems it's going to be a busy end of the year for the SGX, but we'll have to leave it there. Jeff Howie, market strategist for the Singapore Exchange, thank you so much for joining us today on to help us conduct Market View Wrap, as you always do at the end of the week. Jeff, have a great weekend ahead, I hope.
Thank you.
All right, this has been Market View Wrap. I'm JP Young. I'll be back with you guys on primetime starting at 4 p.m. later on.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.